For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Only cure for our basketball Jones. Hail Varsity's Jacob Padilla on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.
Baby.
Maybe that's why.
All right, joined now on the 42 Degrees Source Hotline by Jacob Padilla of Herdette Sports. Jacob, good morning. How are you?
Hello, Connor. I'm doing pretty well.
Good. Have you enjoyed yourself some play-in tournament so far?
A little bit. Haven't been home for all of it, but caught a little bit. I did not see the game last night, the late one, any of it. Just going by the box score, seemed like some wild swings in that one.
Uh-huh.
And now...
a lot Jimmy of Kobe Butler White.
Jeez, talk about the season that guy's had. kind of out of nowhere, but... Jimmy Butler and Alex Caruso and Zion Williamson.
All these teams are getting guys hurt.
I don't like it.
I don't either. I don't think there's anything bigger to be made out of it. Just a bad day in terms of injuries. So I think it's been generally fun so far. I don't know that it means anything. And we get to say goodbye to the Golden State Warriors as we know them. They have died.
Yeah, I saw... Yusuf Nurkic made sure to kind of
he did
share his parting thoughts on the deal, and I'm sure that was directed at a certain Golden State Warrior in particular.
Yeah, Clay, you know, it's tough, but I mean, how old is Clay? What, 32, 33, somewhere around there?
I think an Achilles tear adds 4 years to your age.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, yeah, I don't know that he'll be around much longer, even though that's a relatively, you know, young age. We may have seen the last of Klay Thompson.
We haven't seen. He's 34.
Okay. He's 34, so 38 with the Achilles tear.
So yeah, the awkward thing is they're like, somebody had signed him for the minimum, but like, what are people going to be willing to pay? What's he going to be willing to accept? I think they want him back at Golden State, but they obviously can't pay him like they have. So,
yeah
that's going to be fascinating to see kind of how that plays out.
All right, Jacob, to the portal we go. Let's start with Creighton, because they haven't been particularly, like, it doesn't feel like they've gotten too far down the road with too many guys so far, even though they're looking to replace a few, obviously, off of last year's team. There's important moves to be made in the portal. They're going to take a couple. Like, I guess, what have you taken away from Creighton's activity in the transfer portal so far in this cycle?
I know the Jonathan Givony at the ESPN just put out kind of the early list of players who have filed their draft paperwork and aren't any Blue Jays on that one. So I think that's certainly part of this whole deal that they're navigating, is still kind of waiting for that. Kind of shoot a drop, figure out what's happening there. I know Amari Williams, Drexel big, was planning to visit. I know Kentucky's kind of jumped into that one, and he also has submitted paperwork for the draft. So that's kind of, I don't know where that one's going to go, but that would be a Ryan Kalkbrenner replacement if he chooses not to come back. Defensive player of the year in his conference, and 6'10", but again, now he's some big schools are going after him, so that'll be a tough pull. And then the other name that I think there's been a little traction with is Roddy Gale from Ohio State, guard that just visited. Made a big leap this year as a sophomore. Didn't shoot the ball well from three, but scored well inside the arc. Was a pretty good playmaker for a shooting guard. Over three assists a game. 6'4", good frame. So that's a kind of an interesting guy. He shot 43% as a freshman on low volume. Wasn't able to elevate, so that might be a case. And he's a good free throw shooter, 82% for his career. So might be a case where they see the shooting potential and think they could get him back to a plus 3-point shooter in addition to the other stuff he does. So he could be a good fit there at the shooting guard spot. So that's kind of the other one that just visited. I think he's going to Michigan next, but seems like that's a guy that they could have some pull for. So that's really it recently in terms of names and visits, because again, the visits are kind of when the initial contact list, that hardly means anything at all.
Although I did freak out when I saw the 50% 3-point shooter from Dayton have Creighton on the list yet, but he's an early entry into the draft Kobe as Brea. Well. So Kobe Brea.
That would certainly fit in a let it fly system, but mm-hmm. It's a lot of times, I mean, there's one phone call that happens to kind of just gauge things. They're the way that these handle like any contact whatsoever. Teams or their representatives are going to
put them on the list.
The team on the list just to like, hey, all these schools are interested in my guy. Show us some love, that type of deal. So those initial lists don't really mean much. It's when they go beyond that and you start cutting down lists, you start making visits, that's when things get serious. And we haven't seen a ton of that yet. Obviously, we've seen guys that they were in choose to go elsewhere. We've got the Frankie Fiddler thing hanging out. I don't think Creighton's going to be the choice there whenever that happens. So, yeah, it's kind of Creighton's just kind of slow playing, trying to figure out what exactly they're going to have coming back next year and figure out, all right, which of these guys can we – in navigating the portal is challenging because, one, there's so many players going in and you have to try to find a way to prioritize and manage your time well and decide, all right, where do we want to look? Which of these guys do we want to show interest in? And then you got to kind of sort out like what the motivations are and kind of what the guys are looking for. I mean, just like high school recruiting, it's the same. Like you got to determine, all right, is this a kid that we've got a chance at, or is this a kid that just isn't looking for the stuff that we offer? Yeah. And that's true in the portal now as well with the NIL situation. I don't think Creighton's going to be a program that ever like bid top dollar, like just like takes what offers whatever it takes to get a kid. Like if you're looking for to go just wherever can pay you the most money as a kind of high profile guy, Creighton's probably not going to be in the mix, but they are incredibly competitive with what they're able to offer. So I think it's a guy like Baylor Shireman. He turned down more money elsewhere and ended up there. The rumors about what he was demanding and the asking price, like you hear those rumors, take all that stuff with a grain of salt because agents are weird and journalists love putting out these crazy numbers and stuff for whatever reason. But like Baylor took less. He still got quite a bit from Creighton, but he had higher offers elsewhere, but he decided what was important to him was playing in a program like Creighton and close to home and in a program that really fit his skill set would allow him to elevate his game. So those are the guys that they're trying to kind of identify there in terms of guys that are really interested in the program in addition to what's able to their offer and what they're able to offer from an NIL standpoint.
Yeah, they're pretty comfortable in their own shoes. That's the sense I get from them. You know, on Trey and Kalkbrenner, would you have expected them to go in that early period? Like, so they can go in to the draft all the way through the 27th. So still almost 2 weeks. I mean, there's almost no world where they both don't go into the period because they could still come back after that. I guess like what is your feeling on those guys right now? And did it surprise you that they didn't go in this first round?
Not really. And this just, I mean, I think he made sure it's the one that people that just actually have gone around to file the paperwork.
It's just,
a lot of
okay.
people that have announced.
Yes.
Like Caleb Love has announced that he's entering the draft, put out the graphic and all that, hasn't filed the paperwork yet. So like that's not how it works. Like you can't just say with the office thing there, I declare for the draft. That's not how it works. You actually have to submit paperwork to get on the list.
Yeah.
And that's, again, they've got time to do that. So,
but as far as we know, Trey and Kalk haven't done either of those things.
Yes, correct. That is also true. That's the other thing.
Yes.
That's really fascinating. I've since the end of the season, I haven't been able to be around the team at all and the coaches and everything. And so I'm curious to see just kind of what the plan is and what kind of how they're hoping to handle this. Certainly, again, I'm just operating under the assumption that the coaches have a good feeling for what those guys want to do and are kind of helping them navigate it. But we here on the outside are just kind of in wait and see mode. And it certainly has and will continue to impact what they're able to do and how they operate this offseason.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt about it. It'll be really interesting over the next couple of weeks to see, how that one all shakes out. Let's go over to Nebraska. So they've been more active and they've gotten a couple commitments. What do you think of the haul that they've received so far?
Yeah, it's certainly interesting. I think you got kind of solid pieces, solid rotation guys in Andrew Morgan and Raleigh Worcester at the five and or the forward spot and the at the point guard spot. So it's good to actually have real point guards. And then they went the upside route with a guy like Gavin Griffiths, who, gotta say, I was not terribly impressed. I had no idea. Watching him play this season, I had no idea that he was like a former
five-star recruit. Yeah.
Like it did not show up on the court at all in the games that I watched, at least. Kind of awkward. Every time he tried to make a move, you're like, yes, please, thank you. Because it really ended well for his team. But then he did show some promise down the stretch of the season. And also, it's hard to hold too much against somebody trying to play in Rutgers offense.
Agreed.
The worst offense in the country, certainly among high majors. It's hard to know, like, all right, like what should I take away from this? I'll do a kind of a deeper dive at some point here once we get through all the kind of portal madness and things settle down a little bit and got a little bit more time. But yeah, that's certainly an interesting one there. And then Worcester can't shoot, but he does everything else well. And has a lot of experience, and he is a point guard. So
that's okay. I think that's good. Like that yeah. seems like a nice, solid fit, to be honest.
Yeah, and especially if they do get some shooting around him. You got Bryce coming back, Juwan. Hopefully they can continue to improve that if they get Mass healthy and back and all that. He's got a guy that can space the floor, and Morgan can do it a little bit. So, like, you can make it work if they continue to add the right pieces there. And it'll be good just to have people put back in the right spots, because last year,
definitely,
a lot of it was guys out of position and having to make do with what they had just because of what happened at the point guard spot. Like Bryce Williams, it kind of worked last year, and it worked. It was the best.
Well, he was their best option, but
yeah, it's not what he does best.
Yep.
And you want him as an off-the-ball, second side, attacker closeout. Like, that's what he does well, as opposed to the one that's initiating everything and handling the ball a lot. Like, that's not his game, and that takes away with what he does well. So it'll be good to get somebody out there that can kind of handle that stuff more and allow Bryce to just go work doing what he does. And then I guess we'll still have the Aaron Ulis situation, figure out what happens there. Again, Mass thing is up in the air as well. So still a lot to figure out, but they're starting to fill out the roster. They got four more to go, filled three of them. So still a lot of work to do, but kind of interesting. You got solid rotation players, and like I said, an upside bet, and that's kind of how you want to handle with this many spots, is get some dudes that can play for you and then also take some flyers. And I think that's what they've done so far.
I agree. They've checked a couple of the boxes and are staying right on that level. Jacob, okay, so you're busy. What do you got going on this weekend? Where in the world is Jacob Padilla?
I will be in St. Louis, first out-of-town tournament for my AU team. We got our circuit league moving down to St. Louis. So Nebraska Supreme, Lincoln Supreme teams will be down there. So I'll be watching a lot of basketball this weekend.
Nice. Sounds good. Enjoy the trip, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Jacob Adil of Hernet Sports. If you're Homer in this thing for Creighton, you're like, well, maybe their lack of portal aggression is related to what they feel like is going to happen with the draft guys. Maybe.
That's what I thought.
But I still think there is a lot of time to sort through that. Mm-hmm. Like there's still a lot of time. And like Jacob said, maybe the players and the coaches have like an inkling of like, this is what I expect to go through in the draft process, and this is where I expect to be. And if they fall short of that, then they have the safety net of going back. And you know, who knows? And then a lot of the portal guys too, their first option is to go into the draft and do that part. And then
they'll come out.
How many of them end up back in, you know, and searching for it later on. So like, I think Creighton's probably doing the patient approach, the more patient approach in Nebraska, because they have those decisions that are still kind of out of their control. All right, we will come back. Josh will have the odd news when we return in the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone. We mentioned those NBA play-in games. They continue on tomorrow. Bulls and Heat, Kings and Pelicans. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to play your way in, just as these teams are, with $150 via the FanDuel Sportsbook. All you have to do is place any $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the rest of the NBA playoffs. So take a look at anything inside the 8-seed game in the East, which is Bulls and Heat, the 8-seed game in the West, which is Kings and Pelicans, and then any of the various first-round options that we have for you that are already set up as well, like the Nuggets to definitely sweep the Lakers, or gentlemen sweep the Lakers. And that series starts on Saturday. All available for you in the FanDuel Sportsbook. Head to FanDuel.com/Happer and get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 and over, present in Iowa. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit is required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.